this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a deep dive into the psychology of spending. Why do we spend, and how can we spend in a positive way? Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennycoat here and I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Zach Masters. How are you doing?
Very good, Pete. How are you?
Feeling fresh. It's a chilly one in Melbourne at the moment. So
nice and cold.
Bring on spring, please. But we're going to warm things up a little bit here anyway, getting some spicy financial talk on the menu today. And, I've been doing some behavioral finance studies at the moment. It sort of led me to that question of going like the psychology of spending, like what do we spend our money on and why do we do things the way we do? And sometimes run off the rails a little bit. I don't know, guilty as charged. Like sometimes my spending is not as it should be.
I think everyone falls into the traps here and there in terms of their spending. And a lot of it is because there's psychological reasons behind why we look to spend a lot of the time as well.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where we make, probably dozens or hundreds of transactions each week. So I think if we can put some framework around it and hopefully provide you with some tips to put some guardrails so you can go, this is working really well for me. I think you can feel better about what you're spending your money on.
Yeah, definitely. So how are we going to tackle this one? Do you want me to start off with some negatives as to why people overspend or?
Well, I think we're pretty privileged in the financial planning profession, aren't we? Like we get to see so many, have a lot of candid conversations with clients about money. So, and sort of people from all walks and sort of stages of life. So I think it'd be good to run through what are some of the common traps and maybe biases that people sort of tend to fall into that we help them sort of navigate their way out of as well.
Yeah, definitely. So we might start off with one of the first ones, which is the delayed reward discounting. So what this one is and what we see quite a lot, and this one will probably resonate with quite a few people, is this one's the preference for smaller, more immediate rewards as opposed to larger yet delayed rewards. So think of this as, constantly spending money during the week and then not having enough money saved for big ticket items like a holiday or new car, new house, things like that, because you're constantly purchasing these smaller ones. The reason for that is you don't have the willingness to delay that gratification that you get from getting something.
And we're hardwired, aren't we? Like we're hardwired to want that regular dopamine hit and sort of you want that little buzz. And yes, it's why, doing your credit card purchase and getting something done more regularly, it does give you that hit.
Yeah. And that's what this one is particularly common, is it? Yeah, you get that dopamine hit straight away. Sometimes it can be hard to visualize in the future and try to plan. And a lot of these will come back to, how do we overcome these? And a lot of it's through budgeting and tools like that. But this is one of the more common ones. It's trying to change our brains, hardwiring to go, okay, if we hold off and every little purchase that we don't do for these certain things during the week that are maybe not overly important to us and get put in a separate account that goes towards these big ticket goals that we have or these bigger plans. Is there tips that you have for people dealing with this particular one?
Well, I think it comes down to what's important to you. So, I think we often face resistance with household budgeting. I think it's because people associate it with, it's a negative, like stopping them from spending. I honestly think it couldn't be further from the truth. Like I think budgeting done well allows you to allocate your financial resources to things that actually matter for you. So that's what I'd suggest. Know your numbers. So once you know your numbers, you can spend with confidence. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to do stuff during the week and spend money, but it's doing it with sort of purpose and going, okay, I've allocated to my future self already. I've set aside money. I've got money going into my investment, into super, paying down sort of debt. and this whatever's left over, that's my play money. I can have some fun with it. Yeah, and if you, I think most people, you sort of get your salary in on a weekly or fortnightly or monthly basis, and generally the, you know, the cash account sort of draws down. But hopefully you've allocated to those other bigger, more important things, those delayed gratification items, before that. So you just, you know, you sort of can have fun with it and you're not overthinking it, and you don't need to sort of be watching your budget and sort of, you know, counting every penny.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Instead of waiting until you see what's left over at the end of your pay, you know, fortnight, month or whatnot, and putting that into savings, do it first and automate it, so that it's out of the account, out of sight, out of mind. And then whatever's left over is the spending money. Another one is the scarcity principle. So this is obviously a lot of the time when we're getting marketed to, they're doing it to try and make sure that we purchase and try and get at our brain to try and see what we're susceptible to and what can potentially influence us. So the scarcity principle is the one where they're trying to do, you know, where they'll say only two left at this price, or limited time offers, or things like that, that try to create a sense of urgency to buy. So this may or may not be true. But a consumer who's debating whether or not they want to buy something and they see something like that, so they might see only three available at this price, will more likely go ahead with that. So it's just making sure we're aware of these types of things that are there. I don't know how often you fall for that one, Pete, or?
I don't think very often. I'd sort of, I just think there's constant sales. It's like, yeah, perpetual sales. Like, when is there not a sale at the moment? So,
well, it goes into the anchoring one as well. So the anchoring is another psychological principle, and it's often in behavioral finance we talk about anchoring. But that one's the idea that if you're shopping for an item and has a purchase price of 100 and that's marked down on sale for $50, well, you're only thinking about that $100 price. You're not actually thinking, is that $50 still a good use of my $50?
It's a bargain. What do you mean? It's 50% discount. What could go wrong? Yeah. That is true. Like, sometimes you don't need... You don't actually need something, you just buy it because you think it's good value, but ultimately the purchase didn't really do anything to make you any happier. You didn't require the item or service. Yeah. You've just jumped in because you thought it was an offer too good to refuse, like the old Sopranos offer.
Yeah, and you're thinking about the $100 or the $50 you saved rather than the $50 that you've spent. So that's a really common one. Another common one that we talk about is sunk cost fallacy. So this is one I'm guilty of at the moment. So like a common example of this is a gym membership. So maybe you signed up a few months ago and you had to pay a big initiation fee, and then you've kind of stopped going to the gym, which I have at the moment, but you just keep paying your fortnightly payments because you're going, oh, hang on, I don't want to have to go through that initiation fee all over again, but the money just keeps coming out of my account and I'm not going. So that's something that you need to think about, especially in this day and age where pretty much everything's on subscription style models as well. Is there something you use to kind of keep your subscriptions in check, or how do you go about that?
Look, I think the main thing is like having a pretty detailed household budget and doing an audit semi-regularly. I don't think you need to be in there weekly and sort of monitoring things, but if you're sort of looking at it monthly or quarterly and just sort of picking up what you're doing, I think that's important. And then trying to sort of reflect on, like, we go through a values exercise with clients to sort of uncover what's important to you. And I think that'll give you the biggest sort of indication of where you should be allocating to. And you'll see those recurring items come up all the time where you go, okay, am I going to the gym? And I think that might be a really good thing to invest in, your sort of your mental health, your physical health and your well-being. So it's just going, hey, is this important to me and am I using it? And maybe get someone, get a gym buddy if it's something like a gym membership, or sort of make it something that's more appealing so you are getting value out of that. Because I do honestly think it's not about not spending, it's about sort of getting value for money for what you're spending money on.
Yeah, definitely. And the last one that I've got here as well is the social pressures that come with spending. So there's a lot of studies that have been done on this one, and auctions are a good example of how being around other people can encourage you to spend more than what you would. If you think about going out for drinks, this can often be cause, you know, maybe after you've had a few drinks, you start to shout everyone and go a little crazy with that. And there's also the social pressures of, you know, the keeping up with the Joneses, as we say. So the more money you make, the more money you tend to spend. you're trying to keep up with the people in your neighborhood around you, rather than going, again, it all comes back down to like, is this bringing me joy? Is this important to me that I'm these things that I'm purchasing, or am I just purchasing them for a social image or whatnot? And sometimes we look at lifestyle creep as well, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Morgan Housel said it well in his book. I know you're a fan of the book. Where he,
love that book.
Yeah, spending money to show people how much money you have is the fastest way to have less money.
Yeah.
So it pretty well sums it up there. And it is that thing of, you don't need to do it for show. You know, really true wealth is sort of being happy. I think that's the sort of main thing. And a lot of it's time and doing all the things you love, not really having the flashiest and sort of most current version of everything, just because your next door neighbor has it. So you can wave at them with your fancy lawnmower or your nice flashy car or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think those are a lot of the negative sides of spending and how we can kind of think about those. And it's just more about being aware of them. And then once you're aware of them, you can start to overcome them. But what about the positive sides of spending? I think this is kind of the direction where you wanted to take things, Pete.
Yeah, look, I think spending's not a, it's maybe that we reframe it, flip it on its head, you know, and go, you know, some things are expenses and they're necessary, like tax and rates, you know. But, you know, if you flip it on the head and go, okay, how do I look at this like their investments in the quality of my life and my enjoyment in life? And, you know, your rates and your sort of your insurances on your house might be, that's you investing in your surroundings. And you take it a bit further and go, well, you know, I want to do some renovations to my house and, I want to sort of update the laundry so we can sort of do everything a little bit easier and more streamlined in there. Because that's going to save me some sanity. And that sanity saved every day is an investment because I'm going to be less frustrated. Obviously, I'm just projecting here because we're getting our laundry done at the moment. Yeah, laundry done, yeah. But yeah, it's those things are going, hey, it costs money. But I think, yeah, this is something we're going to be in that house long term. It's an investment and it's amortized over many, many years. So you start to think about that cost that you're putting towards a little bit differently because it is an investment. Mm. And even things like, you know, with investing in your physical and mental health, like those gym memberships, or if you're going to sort of do some meditation, it might even be a subscription to like Calm or something like that, where you go, hey, this is something I'm using regularly. And then even those day-to-day expenses, like going out for dinner with, you know, family and friends, or sort of catching up, or, you know, buying a bottle of wine and going to someone's house and sort of catching up with them. Again, that can be seen as an expense, or it could be seen as an investment in your social network. Yeah. And does that bring you pleasure? Does that bring you joy? I think that's really important. So that's how I would flip it on its head. And even me saying that, does that help you think about what you're spending money on a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's that's what you've got to look at. Like, spending seems like a negative word, I think, because it's often... has the connotation of, yeah, you're buying junk or you're just buying things for the sake of it. But it's just more about allocating towards things that are important to you. So how do you kind of decide what's important with clients? I know there's a questionnaire that we use. And then how do you get the tools in place so that we can start to work towards those things and spending on what is actually important?
Yeah, well, we're not going to give away all of our secret sauce here on the podcast. There's too many. It's going out to hundreds of thousands of listeners here. So, but I think a good one that people can try immediately, so as soon as they switch off this podcast and have a quiet moment, is just ask yourself, what have you spent money on in the past year that's made you happy? Yeah, what did that purchase do for you or give you? Write it down.
Yeah,
sort of. You can even make a list of all the things you've spent money on to make you happy. And then go, hey, well, that's the stuff you should keep spending on. Do it again or do something more like that. And probably the other side of going, if you do want to get into the negative zone, which sometimes you might want to be in that sort of mood and get into that, get in the dirt a little bit. What are the things you spent money on you regret? Like, you know, and go look back and go, oh, wow, I really wish I didn't do that. Not to dwell on it or beat yourself up about it, but just to go, hey, okay, be aware of yourself, like self-awareness of going, I've fallen into these traps. I've done it, and I know I've done it in previous years as well. So maybe next time this comes up, I'm going to try and remember this, or that, you know, just have that sort of presence of mind to go, oh, okay, I'm in the moment. This just seems like I need it. I want it. I need to do it. But it's going to have that buyer's remorse pretty quickly after. And yeah, we can all think of things off the top of our heads, I'm sure, that are there. So it might be items of clothing. It might be, you know, just felt like you're pressured into a sale. And maybe that's what it is. Like, you know, be confident enough and comfortable enough to go, hey, no, I just need to think about this. And that's okay.
Well, a lot of the time, if you just take 24 hours or whatever, you often decide that you probably don't need that particular thing that you're going to impulse buy a lot of the time. And you spoke a bit about budgeting as well. So how do you, like, is there tips you have for clients in terms of running a budget? Do you do it online? Do you use an Excel spreadsheet? Like, what tips do you have?
It's horses for courses. So not everyone is suited to every type of budgeting. So you got to find what works for you. So I was having a chat to a couple last night and they were vehemently opposed to the concept of budgeting because they felt like it would be like not living. They don't want to be thinking about every time they go run their credit card to do something. Can they, can't they? They really like what they've got going for them at the moment where they know they've got money. They know their savings are increasing and they can just spend. So I think we can work on that and go reverse engineer it and go, what are you comfortably putting away each year? And, you know, go, how would you like this to look a little bit differently? Like, would you like to be saving more and it going towards something? So I think it would be that if you're not a budgeter, if you hate looking at it regularly, reverse engineer it. What can you comfortably spend? And maybe stretch it a little bit and go, hey, okay, I'm going to delay a bit of gratification. I'm going to put it into sort of more medium-term, long-term investments.
Let's get an extra 5%, 10% of that weekly, fortnightly salary going in. Is that
how you can? Yeah, percentages are good because if you get a pay rise, you want to sort of be allocating that proportionately.
Yeah.
And then putting some away into longer term, medium term investment savings that you're not touching immediately. And to help with that process, like, you've got to think about your goals. Let's have a bit of a, yeah, think about what your life would like to be in the future. And it might be, hey, well, I want the option to, you know, do a 4-day work week or a 3-day work week. Well, that might require some financial resources, but that might be a big enough carrot for you to dangle in front of yourself to go, all right, I'm happy to put an extra 10% away per fortnight, per month, because I know that's awesome. I'd love that. Like, having 3 days, I'd feel so much happier. I'd be able to do X, Y, Z in my life that I'm not able to do now.
Yeah.
So I think that would be one way to do it. But if you are open to, you know, analysis and sort of you're more of the detailed person, well, digital budgeting tools are fantastic. Now they're you need to sort of do your research because these are sort of closing down at a rapid rate of knots at the moment. So a few of our favorite ones are sort of gone by the wayside, sort of been acquired and been sort of swallowed up by some of our large financial institutions. I won't name names, but they've sort of booted people off the platform. So I think that would be good, but yeah, an Excel spreadsheet works fine, or your Google Sheet, anything that gets the numbers out and breaks it up into different categories, just so you can start to highlight, okay, and I do this in my personal life, I do it in my business as well, go line by line and go, do I need this? Is this something that is sort of adding to my life at all? And if not, wait, can I get rid of it? Can I substitute it for something else at a lower cost? So that's how I would look at it. So two ends of the spectrum there, I'd say. But don't, if you're anti-budgeting, don't feel like it's all over. You can do it. Just reverse engineer and start with what can I save?
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else that you'd leave listeners with in terms of this particular episode?
I'd say get to the heart of like what's important to you. Like, it is that values, like we're a values-based advice business. So sort of you'll get that coming through loud and clear. So if you're allocating money towards things that actually matter to you and bring you happiness, and it's not about the dollars, it's about, you know, money's all about all the things that it can do for you and sort of provide for you in your life. That's when you know you're spending with purpose. You're going to be happier. You're going to have less sort of regret about what you're allocating your money towards. And be absolutely clear. That doesn't mean you're not going to be spending money. You might find there's periods of life where it's appropriate that you are spending money. It's like, you know, if you have a big win, you should go out and celebrate, have a dinner, or you know, if you've got a significant other and it's an anniversary or you want to go out for a date night, all those things are valuable in your life. And it's just sort of weighing that up and making it fit within the confines of your cash flow. So I think the first thing is just a basic thing of know your numbers. Yeah. What comes in, what goes out, what's left. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. And once you know that, allocate it proportionately and make sure you're happy, like living a good life. And sometimes, you know, short term, there's going to be sacrifices, but allocate it there and sort of just make sure you're thinking about the time and the long-term enjoyment and benefit that these things bring. Don't just think of it as the sticker price. And that might help you think about it a little bit differently.
Very, very good. Well, as always, if you've got any questions, email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
Take care out there.